The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm honored. Today is Wednesday, February the 9th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. Today on February 9, 1971, a magnitude 6.6 earthquake in California's San Fernando Valley claimed 65 lives. Marjorie and I were moving to the San Fernando Valley, to North Hollywood, to the church there. At that time, it took months, years, to clean that up. The one image that I have, there was a hospital in Sylmar, which is kind of the north end of the San Fernando Valley. It was a fairly new hospital, and that earthquake was so violent that that hospital sunk into the ground more than a full story. It just sunk. And you could drive up and see it, which we did. And you could see like it was a four-story building and there were only 2.5 floors sticking out of the ground. It was unbelievable. Great stretches of freeway were down. Part of I-5 was down. It was an amazing thing. In fact, it was miraculous that only 65 people lost their lives. Anyway, that was today, February 9, 1971. Wow. Also on that same day, the crew of Apollo 14 returned to Earth after man's third landing on the moon. Today in 1825, the House of Representatives elected John Quincy Adams president because no candidate received a majority of electoral votes. Today in 1943, World War II Battle of Guadalcanal in the South Pacific ended with an Allied victory over the Japanese. Today in 1950, in a speech in Wheeling, West Virginia, Republican Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin, he charged that the State Department was riddled with communists. Today in 1963, the Boeing 727 went on its first ever flight. It took off from the airport in Renton, Washington. I've been inside that plane, actually. There was a guy in our church that I pastored. The church I pastored, who was kind of the head of the testing of that plane. And he took me inside. It wasn't on that flight, of course, but it was later on, sometime later. But he took me inside that plane, and it was all set up. There was nothing inside of it. It was just like a cargo plane. And there were all these stations with devices like computers. I don't know what they were, but they were just, you know, equipment to measure the stress and all that stuff while it was in flight and to test every part of the plane. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I don't think I have since, but nonetheless, I walked around inside that plane and looked at all these stations. It was like a desk, each station, and each station had a guy, and the guy that attended our church was kind of in charge. He was kind of the boss of all of that. And so they went on that flight, and he told me where they went. They went around Mount Rainier and all over the place. But anyway, that was very interesting. The 727 has been one of the most reliable planes that Boeing ever built, according to what I've read. Today in 1964, the Beatles made their first live American television appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And today in 1964, G.I. Joe action figure was introduced at the American International Toy Fair in New York. G.I. Joe action figures were very, very popular until just recently. They've kind of fallen out of favor with the left because it's not woke to have G.I. Joe action figures anymore. 1 year ago today, a team of international and Chinese scientists looking for the origins of COVID-19 said they had concluded that it appeared in humans after jumping from an animal. Of course it did. In John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36, the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, clearly that's talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. If ye shall know the truth, he himself said, Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, and the light." But Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 2, and he said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." So that law of the Spirit freed Paul and you and me as we come into a relationship with Christ and makes us free from the law of sin and death. Then in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Our founding fathers often quoted that part of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. They would say often to one another, and in their writing, in their letters and their communications, you find this this Scripture or part of this Scripture being referred to all the time, a lot. "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I leave that for the moment. I'm going to come back to that as time allows a little bit later in the program today. And we'll talk a little bit about that and how that impacts certainly us. Those of us who are in the Lord have been freed from the law's consequences, from death, because we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. We are not condemned to hell as those who reject Christ and rebel against God. So there is that freedom, and that is what Scripture is about. "Yet where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord lives within each and every one of us who are Christians." Cairo 7 News reported a shootout on Seattle's Capitol Hill overnight on Sunday, a couple of days ago, has the neighborhood on edge, as it should. Seattle, Capitol Hill, of course, became infamous. Remember CHOP, then CHAD. Then remember Jenny Durkin, Mayor Jenny Durkin? She said, "Oh, don't worry about it." I'm quoting her, "It's just a summer of love." Sure it was. It was anything but love after people were shot and killed and the police were driven from the neighborhood precinct. Authorities finally moved out the occupiers. They said it was an independent country. They declared it to be Capitol Hill, a section of Capitol Hill, to be a sovereign nation. And they got away with it for quite a while the world watched. If there's any question about the crime rate in America, in Washington state, and in your state, wherever that may be, read the reports. And in Washington state, you can read the in-depth Washington state crime report. And you can listen to Seattle's new mayor. He said over the weekend, quote, "What I see, what I continue to see out here, I can't sleep at night." And man, he's not had his job all that long. And he can't sleep. It's that bad. Have you ever wondered why nearly all of our country's most crime-ridden cities are run by leftist Democrats? Or maybe we could say it another way. Why are the cities that are run by leftist Democrats the most crime-ridden cities in America? I want to take a closer look at that with you in just a moment. This morning, the New York Times put out a warning. They said, in essence, beware. They don't do that very often. They're usually all in on the front edge, on the cutting edge of progressivism, but even they were at least touched the brake a little bit to slow things down or try to with whatever influence they have. The New York Times this morning says, quote, the last time Xi Jinping left China was more than 2 years ago for a diplomatic trip to Myanmar. Days later, he ordered the lockdown of Wuhan, which began China's aggressive zero COVID policy. By staying home, Xi has reduced his chances of contracting the disease and has sent a message that he's playing by at least some of the same pandemic rules as other Chinese citizens. Well, I would question that. I don't think anybody believes he's playing by the same rules he's enforcing on the people of China. It's horrible. It's immoral. But anyway, that's what the New York Times says. Continuing, quote, until last week, Xi also had not met with a single other world leader since 2020. He had conducted his diplomacy by phone and video conference when he finally broke that streak and met in Beijing on Friday with another head of state. Who was it? The Times asks. They answer on one line, Vladimir Putin. Their meeting, the Times says, this was just a few hours ago, they published this. Their meeting led to a joint statement running more than 5,000 words that announced a new closeness between China and Russia. It proclaimed a redistribution of power in the world and mentioned the U.S. six times, all critically. The Washington Post called the meeting, quote, a bid to make the world safe for dictatorship. Kevin Rudd, he's a former prime minister of Australia, he told the Wall Street Journal this morning, he said the world should get ready for a further significant deepening of China-Russia security and economic relationship. This means a lot of things. I'm not going to try to cover all the things that it means, but one thing is for sure, Russia and China coming together with this new alliance, and I think most of us saw it coming, it certainly should be sounding the alarm for Israel, and it is. There's a story out of Israel this morning. It was just published about within the hour. It says Russia castigates Israel over a retaliatory strike on Syria. Absolutely illegal under international law, Russia says. Russia strongly condemned a retaliatory strike by Israel forces against Syria this morning, Wednesday morning, after a missile was fired from Syrian territory into Israel overnight. So Syria fires a missile into Israel. Israel responds. And then Russia jumps into it this morning. And they're saying Russia's ambassador to Syria said Wednesday afternoon that his country views the Israeli retaliatory strike as being illegal. To defend yourself? Yes, that's illegal. Now, Russia strongly condemns the Israeli raids on Syria, but it wasn't a raid. It was a retaliatory. It was a response to their nuking, or not nuking, but their bombing. They're sending their missile over to Israel. So Israel responds, protecting itself, and they're the bad guys. That's where this relationship is going. That just happened within hours. I mean, just from the time that these two guys are sort of coming out to the world that, yeah, we've got this new relationship and mentioning the U.S. in their statement six times, all negatively. Now they are castigating Israel, all within a 24-hour period. Russia strongly condemns the Israeli raids on Syria and calls for an end to them. We informed West Jerusalem of this position constantly and at various levels. Now we are demanding it. Israeli strikes on Syria, this guy says, this Russian guy, he said, are absolutely illegal in terms of international law and leave human casualties, cause tangible material damage, violate Syria's sovereignty, pose a threat to international civil aviation, and in general increase tension in the already escalating military political situation. When we hold certain views and when we put forth certain policies as leaders, political leaders, they have consequences. And yet we live in a world today where the left is so overdosed and obsessed and possessed with relativism, they don't think there are any real consequences to anything. They just think they'll move through the next project, whatever it is, and if it doesn't work out, they'll just deny it or pretend like they didn't do it, they didn't say it. Relativism is killing America. That's why our founders were so focused on godly principles, because those were the only principles that they could find that they knew of that existed in human experience from the beginning of time that aren't changing all the time. France had taught them a little bit about the Enlightenment. They knew what it was about. They knew that it ended in destruction. That's why they held closely, even those that were not necessarily committed, like evangelical-type Christians of our founding fathers. And there were several that were not, but most were very biblical Christians. But even those who were not, Ben Franklin wasn't particularly disposed that way, although he was very intrigued with the gospel, and he was a promoter of the gospel. Some of the others weren't, a couple of others weren't, but nonetheless, they understood the value, the absolute value of God's word. And they were convinced it never changes, and God's principles stand forever. So it's on that basis that they built this country, and this country thrived. Nobody on this planet believed that America was going to win a war against Great Britain. Nobody believed it, except George Washington and a bunch of farmers and stuff that followed him in the war, and some preachers that led their congregations, the men of their congregations, into the war. That's all documented. But nobody really believed these guys could win. It was a ragtag. They called it. In fact, in England, they were calling it the colony's ragtag army. But God miraculously led these guys through that war, and we all know the results of it. These men believed in the power of God's word, and they honestly believed that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And they fought for liberty under that assumption and under that belief. And they won. And America was formed, and America has been blessed. We are the most prosperous, the most free nation that has ever existed in the history of the world. And we are unique in that we are the only nation that has been founded upon a principle, not ancient property lines or ancient bloodlines. It's an amazing story. That's been lost, of course, because we are obsessed with figuring out whether 5-year-old Jamie is a boy or a girl. And that's where we are today. The Spirit of the Lord is not in that, and liberty does not prevail in that kind of an atmosphere. And that has led to many visible signs of how that destroys. One of them is the crime rate that we're seeing here in America today. It's all because of relativism. It's all because of a departure from God, turning away, forgetting of God, removing him from the culture. Cairo 7 is reporting yesterday. The Seattle Police Department blotter says 9/11 calls started coming in at 2:30 a.m. early Sunday morning. Officers, they say, got there quickly and encountered people fleeing on foot and in vehicles. Someone left a bullet-riddled vehicle behind. It was still running. It sat there and ran for 12 hours, the car. Some of the shooters just took off and left their car. It probably wasn't their car. It was probably a stolen car. Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell, a Democrat, condemned the continuing spike in crime. They always condemn it. I mean, of course you condemn crime. Just last week, he said, the fact of the matter, we have seen an increase in violent crime. He was elected promising to bring crime under control. Indeed, shootings alone were up a record 40% last year, according to the Crime in Washington 2020, which is their latest annual report. I wrote an article about specifically about this today. It's published on our website. And I link to that Crime in Washington State 2020 annual report. If you live in Washington State, I would encourage you to take a look at that. I mean, it's long. You don't have to, I mean, you can read it all if you want, but at least take a look at it. Boy, it breaks down every part of the culture in the state and by county and by region and so on. It's not encouraging, I'll just tell you that, but it's very informative. And so if you live in the state, I would look at that. I would take a look at it at least. If you live in Seattle, duck. Although over 40 gunshots were fired, fortunately, on Sunday morning, no one was injured in this latest crime episode, but some said it reminded them of the old West-style shootout. Others refer to it as something like you would expect in New York in the 1940s, the Mafia. This one guy owns a restaurant in the area. He's owned it for 10 years. And he was telling one of the media, I think it was Cairo or one of the media, maybe the Seattle Times, he said he's never experienced a gunfight like that. He said, I was lucky. My restaurant was closed at the time. He was laughing, but very nervously. He said, I don't know what to do. I mean, seriously, I don't know what to do. He said, we can't stay open. And it's getting so dangerous, he's afraid that his employees and himself is going to get shot. On top of this shootout, his restaurant has been repeatedly vandalized over the past 6 months. His windows have been shattered. He said he couldn't remember whether it was 5 or 6 times he's had to replace the windows in his restaurant on Capitol Hill. He said he's seriously contemplating closing his business. And this isn't just one isolated situation. There are many like this. Kyle Dukart, he lives across the street in an apartment. He was asleep at the time. He said a bullet shattered his living room window. It woke him up, obviously. He got up. He said, I've lived in this neighborhood 4 or 5 months now. He said, I certainly haven't seen anything like this, and I've never heard gunshots before. He said there was actually a bullet laying on my living room floor. The press, the leftist politicians always blame the guns. So now there's going to be a new push to get every gun out of Seattle, out of the state. Not the individuals who misuse the guns, but the guns themselves. Is there any solution to this, really? Seattle Police Department has formed a gun violence reduction unit to address the problem. I don't mean to be cynical. I'm not. And I always pray that I don't want to be cynical, but do you really believe that a gun violence reduction unit is going to solve this kind of crime? Not just in Seattle. I'm talking about Seattle today, but it's across the nation. You know it isn't. So do I. All of us ordinary people out here who live in the real world and know that our decisions, whatever they may be, have consequences. We know that a gun violence reduction unit with a diverse group of people, minorities, gays, a psychiatrist or two, whatever, that isn't the solution to this or any other problem. Last year, CBS noted that the number of homicide victims in Philadelphia is up 35%, the city of brotherly love. It now has the highest murder rate in the country per capita of the country's 10 largest cities. On December 8, 2 months ago yesterday, the New York Post published this headline. A dozen cities set annual murder records with 3 weeks left in 2021. The Post continued. At least 12 major U.S. cities have already set historic murder records in 2021. Even as the 3 weeks remain in the year, Philadelphia, the nation's sixth largest city, recorded 523 murders as of December 7th. According to ABC News, the Post said Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, Louisville, St. Paul, Portland, Oregon, Tucson, Arizona, Toledo, Baton Rouge, Austin, Rochester, New York, and Albuquerque, New Mexico also had their deadliest years on record. Five of those cities top notorious benchmarks that were set the year before, and all of them were led by leftist Democrat mayors. Patrick Henry said, one of our founders, he was a very devout Christian. He said, when people forget God, tyrants forge their chains. I have a picture in my mind of all of this today. I see a blacksmith bending over the blacksmith's fire, stoking the fire with air as they do, pushing that little thing down below with their foot. And I see this blacksmith with hammer in hand, and he has steel, and he's building a chain. But it's not a blacksmith. It's the evil one. It's Satan. We have forgot or rebelled against God, and we have moved him out of our culture. And to that degree, tyrants are forging our chains. We must have policy changes. Those come by changing leaders, electing those. We got to be involved in elections. We got to be involved in voting. Christians must be involved. We've got to be engaged. And when they tell you Christians should, oh, no, don't be involved in politics. That's dirty. That's why we've got to be engaged. It is dirty. It's horrible. This can apply. We've got to change Congress. We've got to change our mayors, our governors. We've got to figure out a way to change. President Garfield once said, our 20th president, he wrote in A Century of Progress, he said, now more than ever, 100 years after our Constitution, he said, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. He said, if the body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. We can't tolerate it anymore. But the greater truth is that our future lies not merely in the hands of the citizens and of the Christians, but in the hearts of the people. The hearts have to be changed. Reverend Charles Finney, the great Presbyterian minister and educator, he said this, if there is decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. It's time for the church to awaken and arise and let God be God. Hey, thanks for being with me today, and thank you for your support. We need it. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.